everyone, welcome to this latest episode of the B2B Marketing Podcast. My name's David Rowlands. I'm the head of content at B2B Marketing and Propolis, which is the global community for B2B marketers. I'm joined today by Eric Glass, who is the Chief Marketing and Communications Officer at Dayforce. So, Eric, thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Are you on business from America, or are you full-time Londoner now? What are you?
Yes, I am complete full-time. I live here in the UK. It's been almost 4.5 years, so I'm on the full-time adventure.
Fantastic. Well, we're very glad to have you. So we're going to talk about lots of stuff to do with your branding at Dayforce, how you use storytelling to really achieve your aims. But before we do that, I'd love to just know a bit about your background in B2B, as well as your current role at Dayforce.
Sure. So I've been in marketing and communications for nearly 25 years. So focusing on storytelling and narrative and positioning, it's very much my passion, and where that can intersect with business and strategy is where I have the most fun. So I spent a number of years on the consulting side, PR agency side, so had the opportunity to work across a wide variety of industries and clients, and that's really where ultimately I found my path into B2B and particularly in technology and enterprise technology. I started my career on the East Coast of the U.S. and then I moved to the Bay Area out in California, so really got to dive deep. That was in early 2000, so got to dive deep into all aspects of technology. And then just worked with a number of different enterprise clients. In this HCM space, I know it really, really well. Mm-hmm. And now Chief Communications and Marketing Officer at Dayforce, global HCM provider, and I've been in this role nearly 3.5 years, and lots of growth and having a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Good to hear. So you're Dayforce now, but you were Ceridian. So there was a big rebrand there. For an S&P 500 listed global company, that feels to me like a bit of a, maybe not a risk, maybe risks is the wrong word, but it definitely feels like a scary step. So what drove that decision in the first place?
Well, for us, it really starts with our brand promise, which is makes work life better. So every critical decision that we make starts through that lens. And that's a powerful place to start, because when you really then start to unpack storytelling and narrative and positioning, right, it's when you have a strong brand promise and purpose, everything should lead to that. So when we really thought about, hey, how do we need to continue to grow? How do we need to continue to amplify that purpose and that promise? It became very clear we had an opportunity to get behind one brand. So we were in market for many years with two brands, really, Ceridian and Dayforce. And when we asked ourselves, what's truly our product, our people, our community at its very best, what's the right modern brand that's going to take us into our future, it was very clear that Dayforce was the answer. And we also did a lot of work, as you would imagine, and talking to customers, talking to stakeholders, right? So this wasn't done in a vacuum, so that ultimately led us down this path. And I'd almost say the risk, the greater risk was not making, was in the potential of not making a change like this, because ultimately it's how do we grow? How do we serve our customers best? How do we ultimately serve prospective customers, those that will join our community? And we felt Dayforce was really the way to do that at the highest level.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned the brand promise being absolutely key to all of this. Brand promise is something we hear a lot about, or brand purpose as well, as if there's a difference, I'm not entirely sure. But how did you actually land on that purpose? Was it a case of interviewing customers? Was it some work you had to do internally? What did that process look like?
Well, it came when ultimately Ceridian and Dayforce came together. So Dayforce was initially founded by our CEO, and founder David Ossip back in 2009. And Ceridian was a company that had been in the payroll space for decades. And when the organizations came together back in 2012, 2013, sitting down, the leadership team sat down and really said, hey, what's the right way to really bring these organizations together, create clarity, create unity for the organizations, and also create clarity for the market and the path forward. And so, you know, working together in that context ultimately brought forth that brand promise and that purpose. And it's also surrounded by our set of core values, which define the actions that we take every day. So that was really the manifestation of it. And, you know, what I you know, like to sort of note too is, you know, certainly in the last, you know, call it 3 years, sort of in the coming into the pandemic and out, I think a lot of organizations realize, wow, we need to really connect our organizations, our culture, our people in a different kind of way. And I think a lot of companies, you know, sort of moved quickly, and in some cases maybe too quickly, to try to, you know, kind of get something on a piece of paper, get something on the wall. But you know, the fact that this has really been our guiding light and focus for, you know, well over 10 years now, I think is also just emblematic of you know, who we are as an organization and who we are as a global team.
Fantastic. So one thing that I hear a lot about from marketers is this struggle to really prove the value of brand. I think inherently marketers know the power of having a big brand, but it's quite hard to really demonstrate that to a CFO or a CEO. So on a practical level, how did you actually really say, look, this is what the rebrand's going to look like, but here's how it's going to drive growth?
Well, you know, for us, and I think, and what I would suggest for any organization, you have to start with that partnership between marketing and the revenue organization, right? I think when you look at anything in too much of a vacuum, you're going to have a hard time really being able to articulate value, right? I mean, value in many ways is our ability together to grow and to provide value to our current customers, to show value to prospective customers, and so you have to really start with that lens when you're building a case and demonstrating what this change can do. So that would be, you know, sort of macro point number one. Secondly, when I stepped into the role, so when I first joined Dayforce, I joined as our chief communications officer. As I noted, I have a lot of background predominantly in communications, and had an opportunity to bring communications and marketing together as one organization. And when I stepped into the role in the very first days, I spent a lot of time, as I think every leader should, just listening, having conversations. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time having those conversations with our sales team, with the colleagues that every single day are out talking to customers and talking to prospective customers and talking to partners, talking to other, you know, industry leaders and thought leaders, right? And one of the biggest pieces of feedback I received is, hey, it would help me if we could do more with the brand, if we could create even more clarity because we've got two brands in the market, if we could get a bit louder and really show what we're about and let that be heard in an even bigger way. So that was a big key critical piece. So when I came back to the organization and the leadership team to say, hey, this is a real opportunity for us. Again, it wasn't just, you know, the marketing team or me and, you know, sort of working in a vacuum. It's hey, I've had a lot of conversations across our organization and importantly with, you know, those that are way out front trying to drive our growth and trying to serve our customer community. And this is what we're hearing. So it was to me, a very natural place to start. But again, I think it has to start with that partnership. And I think that's a much more clear and accelerated path forward because you're not doing it alone.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely spot on. I think there's maybe a tendency for some marketers to go into a new organization and think, God, I've got to show impact right away. I need to start doing stuff, basically. But it sounds like you had the, you know, the patience to actually just kind of get a understanding of the business first and understand what the challenges were. Do you think that's something marketers do enough of? you know, speaking to different departments and actually trying to figure out where, you know, you can drive value?
I think there's always good intent, but you really have to not just have the conversation, but you have to put the action around those conversations. When you spend time with partners and colleagues, whether it's the revenue organization or if you have a services organization, customer success, whatever it is, you have to make sure that you're creating action and clarity around those conversations, because you're going to discover opportunities and challenges as you're meeting with different organizations that are in service of the customers and or partners or prospective customers, whatever it may be. And you need to get alignment and create shared goals, shared KPIs, something that you're both signing up for, because it's easy to go have some conversations. And I think marketers do a great job of that, but then you got to bring it back and you got to translate that into something that you can then demonstrate how you're moving forward in you know, service of what the needs of the organization are. And I think the best way to do that is with shared goals and shared KPIs to say, hey, let's sign up for this together. Let's figure out how we track this together, because then you're really creating a path forward and a commitment. And you both, you know, whatever organizations and functions are involved, everyone's got to show up and own their part of it. And I think that's a really powerful and much more tangible way. Otherwise, it's just easy. It's too easy to sort of fall back into, what might just be the goals of your function, the marketing function, which are good goals, but it can be, you know, kind of easy to get focused on specific campaigns or different KPIs within the marketing function and forget or just miss key connection points, how that needs to really connect to the revenue organization or connect to services, connect to customer success to really truly drive the organization and growth forward and value for the customer, which is what it all boils down to.
100%. And, you know, what are some of those shared goals you look at? You know, is it about the conversations that marketing started? Is it about marketing generated pipeline? I'm assuming, you know, it's not just number of leads, or maybe that is an important metric. What are you looking at?
Yeah, we look at all of it. But I would say, you know, first and foremost, and you know, to the comment of you know, true partnership and shared alignment, that, you know, the first thing that you know we're looking for, certainly on the you know, revenue side of the equation, is total pipeline, right? I mean, ultimately you need really good, strong pipeline to you know, grow revenue, grow sales, right? So that's the first place we look, and that is a combined number. That is the efforts of our sales team, you know, working every day out in their territories. That's the marketing organization's contribution. That's our partners' organization contribution. And so that's the first place we're going to look, is that growing in the way that we want it to grow. And then, you know, to your comments behind that, of course, we're looking at source data. We're looking, of course, at leads. We're looking at then a lot of the components that are helping to fuel that. But first and foremost, we want to look together with our revenue organization. What does that total pipeline number look like? Is that moving in the right direction? And again, you know, back to my point on that shared KPI, that's the right place for it to start.
Yeah, no, sure thing. So talking about, you know, KPIs and results, what kind of results have you seen now that, you know, the hard bit's been done with the rebrand?
Well, it's early days. So we announced our intent to move forward with this rebrand at our annual customer conference, which is called Ceridian Insights in our former life. And that was back in October. So we announced it to our customer community and prospects and our other stakeholders around the organization. And then between October and February 1, we did the critical work of getting ourselves lined up to be able to flip that switch. And so we're, you know, about 6 weeks in. You know, I would say one of the parts that I have found most exciting. You know, I had a strong belief that this would be a powerful uniter of our of our global team. But, you know, I would say one of the earliest, sort of indicators and results is, in fact, the way that, you know, we're a little bit north of 9,000 global employees around the world. And in fact, you know, with this brand change, we also refer to ourselves as day makers within the organization rather than employees. And again, back to the comment I made about how we align behind our brand promise to make work life better. So the way that all of us all around the world really got behind this, got that clear alignment and energy and excitement and really sort of grabbed this change, that I would say has been the most profound impact thus far. We did part of what we did as with the launch, we did some out-of-home advertising across 8 markets. We went from San Francisco, our dual headquarters, Minneapolis, Toronto, London, Singapore, Sydney. And we also did it as an opportunity to get our colleagues out. We got some breakfasts and lunches and cool things together, and they went out and took pictures, and they were out with the out-of-home experience. And I think ultimately those ads ran, I think, north of 23,000 times around the world, and we saw millions of social impressions. But that I just thought was so profound in seeing the way our colleagues really really got behind it. So that was very big. And then of course alongside of the rebrand, we did a total re-architecture and redesign of our website that launched on the same day. And again, early days, but you know, we believe in terms of what we designed and created, it's absolutely a more personalized experience. It's better optimized for conversion. So we expect we're going to see significant change and impact along those lines.
Great stuff. So storytelling, I know, is, was a big part of this rebrand. Mm-hmm. So before we talk about what that looked like, I'm actually intrigued to know, what do you mean by storytelling in the first place? Because it is one of those words that gets thrown around a lot, but I think everyone's got a slightly different understanding of what it means.
You know, to me, storytelling is, you know, what is that narrative that binds us? And the fact is, storytelling really is about change. I mean, this is how... This to me is the fundamental essence of how humans connect. It's what we're all, you know, ultimately, I think, trying to understand, looking for in whether in our personal lives and our professional lives. So it's what is that journey of development and that journey of change? You know, so to me, when you're doing something, you know, like a rebrand, or just even the evolution of a company through many inflection points of growth, the story that you develop, that you use to galvanize your team, that you use to galvanize your customer community, or those you're hoping will join the customer community, your partners and stakeholders that work around your organization, like that's the essence of, to me, what's really sharp storytelling and clear storytelling can and should do. In fact, there was a recent article in Harvard Business Review, co-written by Francis Fry, who's done a ton of leadership work and research around this. And the article was, I think, titled "Storytelling That Drives Bold Change," right? And really kind of codified how really clear, prescriptive storytelling can be the catalyst of change that you need in an organization. Again, whether it's, working through challenge, whether it's a turnaround, whether it's accelerating growth that you've already achieved, whatever it may be, how you develop and tell the story and ultimately, get your team rallied around the story is the essential component. How you change and how you grow.
Absolutely. So I guess the natural follow-up question is, how did you tell that story? On a practical level, what does that really look like?
Well, like we've been talking about, for us, it fundamentally comes down to the brand promise, which is to make work life better, right? And even using that HBR article as a backdrop, right? Like, you have to start with something very clear and arguably very simple, right? I mean, I think, won't put words in your mouth, but I think any one of us can sort of wake up and go, would I like my work life to be better? Could it be better? It's like, yeah, you know, and we could probably sit and make some lists on, you know, what that looks like. And, you know, we're very, you know, lucky at Dayforce when, you know, we look at what it is we're actually the innovation that we're driving toward every day around human capital management and, you know, what we refer to as being a global people platform, right? Even the sort of notion of human capital management is, you know, becoming an older term. It's right. Like what's a platform, what's technology that can really help people and help the way that people work. So that's where our story always starts. That's where it always anchors. That's what, you know, drives the evolution of it. And again, as we said, as we looked at this the rebrand, and as we looked at the ways that we could, you know, really get behind the Dayforce brand, which again has been, you know, in market for many years. But how can we, you know, how could we turn another page? How could we evolve and also show the heritage behind it? Ceridian, for, again, as I said, decades, has this really brilliant heritage and you know, really made remarkable change for thousands of customers over the course of the life of that brand. And so, you know, when you look at Dayforce, you'll see even just some of the ways that we used colors and style. It's also honoring the heritage of Ceridian, which we feel really passionate about. So all of that, you know, drives and underscores the story that we tell and the narrative and the positioning that we created, which I would say worked in parallel, right? So as we looked at some of the you know, kind of maybe say more obvious things when you think about marketing that you would look at of, you know, what should the brand identity look like? What should the logo be? What should the new website be? We worked just as diligently and hard on the positioning, the narrative, so that when you brought all of that together, you really could understand what we stand for, the value that we believe, you know, we can deliver to our customers and to our community and you know, tell a story of change and continuing quantifiable value that our customers can achieve in partnership with us.
Mm, absolutely. And, you know, it's fair to say any project on this sort of scale is going to be difficult. You know, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be, you know, barriers along the way. If you were able to kind of put yourself back where you were 6 months ago, you sort of magic back onto the scene and give yourself some advice, what advice would you actually give yourself going through that rebrand?
That's a great question.
That's why I'm a journalist.
Yes. Well, this not to be overly glorifying, maybe, but I would underscore the advice that I think we tried to follow, which is mind the details, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, when you step into a body of work like a rebrand, you know, I think the first place that all our minds naturally go is, you know, sort of like the bright lights, right? You're thinking about, ooh, what's that new logo going to look like? What are the colors going to be? Oh, great, we're going to like redesign the website. What's that going to, you know, look and feel like? And you get very excited about that. One sort of fun anecdote about our organization. I mean, for sure, one of the most popular questions was, what's the new gear going to look like? Like, what are the shirts and the hats and the mugs and, right? Like, everyone, like, what is the swag going to look like that we all get, right? Which again, to me, is also emblematic of the passion and the energy that our team has. But the comment about mind the details is what lives behind that, right? When you really pause to think about what has to change when you're changing your identity top to bottom, right? You peel all that back, right? think about your contracts, think about all of your learning materials, every last PowerPoint document, like you name it, all of your internal channels, right? I mean, even down to, you know, think about the tools, you know, your technology tools that you use internally, and the, you know, URLs of a video meeting, whether it's a Zoom or a Teams, whatever you're on, right? That's going to populate today in whatever your organization is. All those things have to be contemplated, have to be thought through, have to be processed. Your facilities that have, you know, whatever branding that, you know, that they might have now. And for us, of course, we had Ceridian around the world. What is that journey of transformation along the facilities? And again, all of that has to be processed, you know, in a way that is, you know, also mindful of, you know, how the company needs to maintain operations, needs to continue to grow. Like you can't be wildly disruptive, right? I mean, the business needs to go on, and service to the customers is the most critical thing. So none of that can be interrupted, and you want to bring the customers along with you. So I was so proud of the way that the team really did mind the details and dig in and study the details, because when we launched on day one, you could really see it manifest in so many different ways. We did Dayforce is a, of course, we want to be our first and best customer. Yeah. So we were, you know, using our platform every single day. We have the Dayforce Hub, which is the place where you're going to start your day, and you know, has a beautiful homepage. And we did a, you know, full takeover and had a, you know, video from our CEO David Ossip, and all sorts of interesting tools and you know, sort of useful links to, here's where the PowerPoints live, here's, you know, kind of everything you need. And so I think the team just did a tremendous job of thinking through those details, and that would be the advice I would continue to give ourselves and anybody stepping into this work where you're really doing it top to bottom. There's far more details than you could even think there are. And when you really assemble every single function to think it through with you, it's an unbelievable amount. And you know, we're still, you know, so we're 6 weeks later, but, you know, we have a lot more that we're doing in this journey. Again, it's not necessarily all of the forward-facing and customer-facing pieces of it, but very, very critical to ensure that we're operating fully as Dayforce.
Fantastic. Well, Eric, thank you very much for joining me, and hopefully we'll see you again very soon.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.